Morning, I plan to take you on a journey which I've entitled The Saints' Everlasting Rest is the New Jerusalem. I will start with the book of Genesis, says, and end in the book of Revelations, but I'm certainly not going to cover everything in there. Just the Old Testament alone is more than three-thirds of the book. So I've selected specific scriptures, and I'm going to present them in a narrative form in order to paint a picture of God's plan from eternity past by presenting a series of scriptures tied together to usher in the New Jerusalem. And I will start from the book of Genesis. You don't have to follow me because I've got these all over and you wouldn't be able to keep up with me. So I'm just going to continue the narrative and try to tell a story with the scriptures. Genesis 12. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 17. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17:19. When God said, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendant after him. As we know from the study of Abraham and Sarah had allowed the maid to have Abraham bring him a child because she was not of bearing age. But here's God telling her differently now. And that alone is a huge miracle in the preparation of God's plan. Genesis 28. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughter of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, your mother's fathers, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham. God speaks to Jacob in a dream, and God said, I am the Lord of Abraham, your father, and the God of Jacob, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, as your descendants shall be the dust of the earth, you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 35. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. God establishes the line of the people of Israel at this point, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, Israel is located in the area where the land of Canaan was located. It is bordered by Egypt, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. A prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah of the new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to take them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Now I'll be going into the book of Exodus. God leads Moses and Israel out of Egypt by miracles. He brings them to the foot of Mount Sinai. Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now we know that Moses was born in Egypt, and we know the circumstances in which he was born when the new Pharaoh came into play, he tried to suppress the Jews because he feared that they were multiplying. In fact, there were more Jews in Egypt than there was Egyptians. So he decided to make sure that all the male born from there on would be taken away and killed. And so under that circumstances, through another miracle of God, Moses survived that and became to be the leader of the people of Israel and to lead them out of Egypt by the hand of God. God leads Israel and God leads Moses and Israel out of Egypt by miracles. He brings them to the foot of Mount Sinai, Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, what happened at Mount Sinai when they got there? In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped there, Moses went up to Jacob and to tell the children of Israel, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people of Israel answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So they agreed to follow the laws that God had commanded Moses and the instructions that he gave them. Were they faithful to the word of God? On the third day, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Now let's examine what the law of God means. The law of God. Human beings are not freed to be a law unto themselves. They are subject to the law of God. He has played the law and their conscience, but they suppress it. Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Unlike the laws of man, the law of God binds humanity into an obedience forever. The law is spiritual in nature, so it reaches the understanding, will, affections, and all other powers of the soul, as well as the words and gestures. In other words, your desires as well as your actions and your thoughts must be righteous. God requires the total obedience of each person to all of the implications of his law. This is why we need mercy and forgiveness in Christ in order to do that. And this is precisely why the unregenerate man resents God and rejects God. And we can see that clearly today in our society. So man has really not changed from the beginning of time. Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They became very impatient, exceedingly impatient. Now, while Aaron was doing his evil deed, God was giving Moses two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. Exodus 32. And the Lord said to Moses, get down, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have corrupted them. Now I found that when I read that, I said, wait a minute, it's God who brought them out and led them out with miracles. But here he's telling, now, Moses, you did this. And so he's commanding him to go down and correct the people and straighten the fact that they have drifted away from God and created another God. They have made themselves a golden calf, and God is angry and is ready to consume them. But Moses pleads with God. Then Moses comes down from the mountain and delivers the Ten Commandments. The penalty of Israel's rebellion. They will suffer the consequences of their disobedience. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him according to the word of Moses. That day, about 3,000 men of the people of Israel were killed by the men of the sons of Levi as commanded by God. Deuteronomy tells us about the life of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness where they died. 1 Corinthians 10. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things become our example to intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immoralities as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. Nor murmur as some of them also murmured and complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples to us. And they were written for the admonition unto whom the edges of the ages has come. The people of Israel knew the Lord himself was God. They knew it very well. They had more evidence than we have. We've had the scripture to learn about God. They actually had God. And in Deuteronomy 4, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that God created man on earth, and ask from one end of the heavens to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and be great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none others beside him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you the nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as it is this day. Moses did not enter the promised land for his disobedience, robbing God of his glory. Deuteronomy 4. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that land. Romans 11:5. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. The symbolic substitution of the Passover lamb is fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, our Passover sacrifice. His exodus at Jerusalem accomplishes the salvation of the true people of God. The Gentiles grafted in God, God's new covenant people, are joined to Jesus Christ, in whom the Gentiles become the people of God, members of the Commonwealth of Israel, and the fellow citizens with the Old Testament saints who will make up the new spiritual Jerusalem. The full meaning of the description of Israel in Exodus may now therefore be applied to the churches of Gentiles today, which is our church included. Peter 2. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen and precious, and who believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumbled because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to do by God's providence. John 5. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making him equal with God. They tried to put Christ to shame. As they also stumbled at Mount Sinai when God gave them the Ten Commandments, they stumbled, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, his elect, both Jew and Gentile. Romans 9. What if God, waiting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory and on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared before his glory, even whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Romans 9. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. Romans 9, Paul speaking to the Gentiles. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now attained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches to the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more fullness to the Jews, Israel? We now can see from Scripture that according to his plan for eternity past, God appointed the Jews as his people to bring the hope of salvation to the whole world. God will reward them according to their measure as he will for all of the saints in the coming of the new Jerusalem. We know that God created vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor in this path to the new Jerusalem. The mystery of Israel's salvation. The Gentiles are no better off than the people of Israel when it comes to salvation. We also need a Savior. Romans 9:11. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening is part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable from the Scriptures. We can see God's plan unfolding for the establishment of the New Jerusalem. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God and must live his life or her life here on earth, focused on the everlasting rest of the saints, where we spiritually are in the presence of God, our Father and Creator of all, with the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is through spiritual regeneration that we are able to receive Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, a call to persevere and stand fast on your faith. I, the rest of this, I'm going to be presenting it directly to the audience here at our church here today. So this is to you, Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying on the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority for all time, for now and forever. 1 John 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Galatians 3, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it is not your faith that gives eternal life, but the Spirit of Christ in you. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it is not your faith that gives eternal life, but the Spirit of Christ in you. Ephesians 4. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Not our holiness, but the holiness of Christ imputed to us. As Christians, this is the new person we profess to be. Now, if you sin, it is your sin that will grieve the Holy Spirit. Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. Romans 8. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us here, the responsibility of the word of reconciliation to the world. So this is a command from God that to where you work or where you play or in your family, that you must give them the word and to reconcile them to Jesus Christ. So this is a command, an order for all of us, if we are in Christ and we are truly Christians. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled of God. If God has appointed you his ambassador for Christ, ask yourself, if you are sealed for the day of redemption, why would you willingly go on sinning? But by the grace of God, we are kept in the Spirit of Christ, and all whom God the Father has given him, he will not lose any. We should remember ourselves daily, by the grace of God, we are truly spiritually in Christ. And that God's mercies includes our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. By his grace, they are all of the work of God's love for his saints. Since Christ has atoned for our sins, our spiritual medicine for the mortification of sin are the words of God, prayer, and his grace. We know our labor for Christ is not in vain. He who would come to suffer will surely come to triumph. He that would come to die for us will surely come to possess us. Ask yourselves, has Christ made us to forsake all the world and be forsaken by all the world, to be hated by all, to hate all? And all of this for Christ, that we may have him instead of the world? And don't you think, after holding fast to our faith in him, we would forsake us, that he would forsake us? Far be such a thought from your hearts. It is we who have not been faithful to God. Our Father God is a holy God, and has testified his love for his elect. His giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, and accepting his death on the cross for our sins. Christ has also testified of his inheritance. Now we have been granted heirs of the kingdom and joint heirs with Christ. Now to be King of kings and Lord of lords is our Lord's own proper title. But to be kings with a small king and lords with a small lord, to reign with him is ours. In the end, we will see Christians safely enter God's kingdom and be set honorably to the everlasting rest with all of God's saints as promised to us by God. If we learn one thing this morning, it should be that God always keeps his covenant. This is truly hope and change. Not the kind of hope and change that man tries to give us. Many have perished in unbelief and disobedience that God may show love and mercy to his elect. And that is a mystery. How many people, reprobates, will die that he may usher in his elect. And it's all for his glory, for the glory of Jesus Christ. To show his glory, to show his power to all his creation. For who has known the mind of the Lord? For of him and through him and in him are all things. To him be the glory forever. The new Jerusalem is the rest of the everlasting saints. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the everlasting Lamb. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, and there shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat at the throne said, behold, make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water for life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Thessalonians 4. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in a cloud to meet the Lord. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This world is in its present form is passing away. For the things you live for now are all temporary and passing away. Worship will be the central of our life in heaven. And so it must be central in the life of the church on earth. And God said, you shall have no other gods before me. This was a different experience for me up here. I think what it was is I spent a lot of time studying and preparing because I really didn't know the Old Testament that well. In going to the Bible and preparing yourself, because I had to go through a large part of the Bible to try to select and still not make it very long, I could sense and feel the Holy Spirit working in me and bringing about a change in the way I see God and the way I see Christians and the task that we have here on earth, especially in these days as we see our own country, supposedly a Christian country, changing. The work that we have, we should not stop preaching the word in spite of what happens out there. Because we know how the end comes. They don't know how the end comes. We don't know when it'll come, but it will come. Thank you.